I'm gonna go.
Excellent. I have 4 p.m., so we'll go ahead and call the grants committee meeting to order. We'll do a roll call. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Here.
Mr. Foster?
Here.
Mr. Malone?
Here.
Ms. Kuhn?
Present.
And Ms. Harris?
Yes.
I believe Mr. Jones is here.
He's in the building.
Yeah, he's in the building.
So talked to Mr. Cooper last time.
Yeah. And then this will be our first meeting without Ms. Gorman. And moved on, so we'll miss her. But can I get does anybody have any comments or suggested changes to the meeting minutes from April?
I'm going to abstain because I wasn't here.
Right. We don't have to approve these officially, though, right?
No, we don't.
So, hearing no suggestions for additions, subtractions, or modifications, they will be submitted as presented. Thank you. But the record reflects Mr. Jones has entered the room. Next item up will be public comment. I do believe we have some individuals here to present. So, if you'd like to feel free on public comment, either of you have anything?
My name's Kelly Orban. I'm with the St. Louis Regional Chamber. I was here a few months ago with Janelle Alexander from Economic Development. Jen Pensler wanted me to bring you up to date on what's going on with Economic Development and the Chamber. So the handout just shows what our activities have been so far in 2019. In February, our team made a trip to Dallas. They went to Dallas. Apologize. We hosted 20 guests at the Blues and Stars game. March 4th, we had our Arcus Awards, and the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois won the Economic Impact Arcus Award. In March, on the 6th and 7th, we took a trip to Chicago with the Leadership Council. We hosted 18 guests for a lunch briefing. We had 15 site consultants and representatives from the countries of Japan, Germany, and the UK. On the 21st of March, we were a table sponsor. I was one of the ones that attended the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois Awards dinner. At the end of March, we promoted our region to 50 site consultants at the Site Selectors Guild, which was held in Salt Lake City. March the 28th, Jim, he was here with me the last time, presented about Alliance STL, which is our economic development arm, to the Riverbend Growth Association Board of Directors. Lobby Day was held on April the 3rd. More information on the following page. April 18th, we engaged with several Metro East economic developers in discussion to develop new principles and protocols document. So basically our rules of engagement, so we could bring in line how to formulate leads and projects and how to manage those throughout the region. May 2nd and 3rd, we just hosted Ron Starner. He's an EVP with Conway, and the Site Selection Magazine. We familiarized him with Southwest Illinois. We visited several sites here in Madison County. The story will be in the magazine in upcoming months. So coming up May 21st, we're having a leadership breakfast featuring the Korean Economic Institute and the World Trade Center. I'd like to extend an invitation to two or three of you if you'd like to attend that. It's from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Chamber, which is at Metropolitan Square downtown. Let me know if you'd like to attend. And then also upcoming June 10th to 12th, Team Illinois, we're representing them at Select USA, which is a site selectors conference in Washington, D.C. And then also on the horizon, June 13th, we are doing a presentation to the Japan Business Federation in Washington, D.C. Our team includes Chairman Prenzler, America's Central Port, Leadership Council, Dr. Pembroke from SIUE, and Congressman Mike Bost. We're going to present to a group of 25 to 30 Japanese manufacturing companies to sell the St. Louis region, including Madison County, to those companies. Projects, So far in 19, we've opened 29 potential economic development projects. Those considering the Illinois side include 13. And currently open, we have some carryover from previous years. We have 70 projects, and 24 of those are considering the Illinois side. The second page is about our public policy. We hosted Lobby Day on April the 3rd. Our chairman, Tom Minogue, Thompson Coburn, led our team to Springfield, Illinois, and we were advocating for important regional issues that included transportation and infrastructure and support for Scott Air Force Base. We've been involved on both sides of the river and are continuing working to get those key priorities over that finish line. Our delegation included all staff members from the Riverbend Growth Association, Desiree Benahoff, who's the president and CEO of the Ed Glenn Chamber, and also a representative from the Terminal Railroad Association. There's a listing there of all of the representatives that we met with while we were there. And then on April 19th, we held our Public Affairs Network at the Doubletree in Collinsville. We hosted Rodney Davis. He was telling us what it's like to work in the minority in Congress and the challenges passing infrastructure for the regional and nationwide. And then finally, we are advocating for House Bill 1652, if you're not familiar with that. That tries to extend the six-month period where service members and their spouses get their professional licenses issued in this state from 6 months out to 3 years, so they don't have to worry about keep renewing their nursing licenses or other types of professional licenses. So that's kind of what's going on with the chamber. Hope that's helpful. If there's anything in the future specifically you'd like me to address, I'd be happy to do so.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Yeah.
So this group of Japanese manufacturing companies, are they considering coming to our area?
Some of them are. We go out and reach out because a lot of companies don't even see St. Louis on their radar. So the idea is we go out and tell them, especially the ag tech industry in St. Louis, how strong it is, and sell St. Louis so that we are on their radar and they will hopefully consider us. And we have those connections so that even if it's not an upcoming project, it's something in the future. Hope that answered your question. One other thing I'll just mention that I didn't, and I've got some documentation, is a new thing called Project 250. We're working with, and I have more of these if you'd like, we're working with a 250-mile radius of St. Louis with the colleges and universities and finding students that are interested in internships and basically becoming a matchmaker between companies in the region that are looking for interns and those students so that they can get their roots developed here in St. Louis and then hopefully stay here long term. So if you're aware of any businesses looking for interns, Val's information is on that page and she'd love to talk to you.
Great. Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you, Kelly. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. That's great. A lot of exciting things on here. I believe next representative from the Leadership Council is here as well.
Good afternoon. I'm Rick Parks. I work at the Bank of Edwardsville. I'm a senior lender and commercial executive. I also serve as a board member for the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois. And I was asked to come give you a brief update on what's going on in Southwest with Leadership Council as it relates to Madison County. So I have a few things to, or a handout for you to look at. I think you're all familiar with Leadership Council. You referenced Leadership Council. We certainly work very closely with Jim and the folks at the St. Louis Regional Chamber, because if we do well, if the region does well, we all do well. But a few things I wanted to highlight, and first of all, I just wanted to say a sincere and a hearty thank you for your support of Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois. The organization, you probably know, has been around since 1983, and their slogan is a voice to help make the region grow. So, and that's what it's all about is helping grow the Southwestern Illinois. But the first thing that's indicated there was the Leadership Council's annual awards dinner. It's called the Salute to Southwestern Illinois, which I believe you said you were attended as well. And Madison County was a recipient of one of the awards for their investing in infrastructure. So thank you for that and for your involvement at that dinner. The second item there, a little overlap here, and what you presented, but Site Selection Magazine, you can see its distribution. Almost 49,000 corporations receive Site Selection Magazine. It's a great resource for those companies that are looking. Maybe they need to expand their manufacturing, or they need an alternative site for new location, or Site Selection Magazine is a wonderful tool for them. And Site Selection Magazine is distributed to, as I said, almost 49,000 companies, including many overseas. Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois placed an ad in Site Selection Magazine, and that's what is represented here is that ad. And you can see that it highlights Gateway Commerce Center right here in Madison County and many of the positive attributes of that development. The third bullet point is related to Site Selection Magazine, but we, Leadership Council, had a kind of a VIP reception for Ron Starner, who is the EVP of Conway, the publisher of Site Selection Magazine. It was a great opportunity for us to have about a two-hour window of time to share with him all the great things that are happening in southwestern Illinois, and specifically here in Madison County. As a result of that, we think we will also get some press about what's happening in southwestern Illinois and what's happening especially as it relates to the distribution center at Gateway and Lakeside. So just down the hill here in Madison County. So we're excited about the Site Selection Magazine attention that we recently received. On the back, you can see that one of Southwestern Illinois Leadership Council's initiatives is Building Workforce 2030, where we provide information and career opportunities and explain to students all of the career opportunities that would be out there, particularly those in the trades. But you can see the list of schools that our staff at Leadership Council has been working with and involved with there. Those schools are listed at the top right. And in terms of external marketing, you can see some of the things that we have I'm a board member. I'm not a staff of Leadership Council, but our small staff of three folks at Leadership Council, especially Dr. Rhonda Sajay, she does a phenomenal job of getting the word out about Leadership Council, and more importantly about southwestern Illinois. But you can see some of the development calls that were made in Chicago, Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, Seattle, etc., etc. Placing the ad in Site Selection Magazine, I mentioned that already. Partnering with utilities to map critical infrastructure for key development sites. That's an initiative that Leadership Council has taken on, so that if a potential site selector needs X number of employees and such amount of electricity and needs this much land, they can go to a website that we're developing and they can put those parameters in, and it will show all of the sites in southwestern Illinois that match that criteria. So right now you have to go to Ameren to find out about the utilities. You have to go to Illinois American Water to find out about the water supply. You have to go to the county for the state for interstate access, etc. This will aggregate all of that information in one location is the idea. And then outreach to individuals promoting the good news in Madison County. Our multimodal priorities, you can see, are listed there. Advocating for Madison County for funding, Illinois 157-162 intersection, reconstruction, new bridge, and bridge replacement project, and then the Godfrey Roundabout, Route 3 in Del Mar. Questions for me? I hope not, because this is about all I know. No, I mean it sincerely. We do thank you for your support of Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois, and I hope you value the impact of whether it's the Levees Alliance or the outreach to potential investors and developers and site selectors. So thank you for allowing me to come and present.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Appreciate the information. Fantastic. Any other public comment this afternoon? Hearing none, then we'll move on to new business. The first item up is approval of bills and purchase request report. We have three items, actually. I know there's probably some questions from item two, So there's no objection. Why don't we pull item one, which is the bills and purchase request report, along with the, I believe it's the park and recreation loan to the city of Edwardsville. Is that okay with everybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. So hearing no questions then on the...
I did have one question. Mm-hmm. I may have answered my own question in my reading, but on page, I believe it's maybe the third page, Nadine, queen platform bed frame.
Yeah.
And it says for shelter furnishings. Which shelter do we furnish now?
Well, it's not the shelter. It's probably for one of our...
One of my clients.
So it's not an actual shelter.
A rapid rehousing program that houses 20 families.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we purchase furniture.
Okay. All right, that answers.
So they would be in an apartment or a rental house or something
right.
like that.
Yeah,
something. Yeah.
It's confusing.
That stuck out to me, too.
Yeah.
Bed frame. Okay. All right, thank you.
Naps at community development.
Any other questions about the bills and purchase request?
I make a motion.
Okay. So we got a motion by Mr. Jones, second by Ms. Glasper. Mm-hmm. We'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Cooper?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. And then why don't we do the resolution authorizing a park and rec loan to the city of Edwardsville? And I believe there's folks here kind of talk about that. But James, I guess this is just the same exact same project you were here for. Like
exact same project, just a different pot of money. This is actually coming through PEP now. But they are here if you guys have any questions or anything. They have pictures of the potties in the parking lot.
All the restrooms and concession buildings.
That's the female set.
And last month, James, was $750,000 UDAG, right?
Yep, and this is a $200,000 loan request.
Be repaid through their yearly pay.
It's all the stuff we saw.
A little bit different. Yeah. They're actually going to use their...
Hotel Motel Pax.
Yeah.
Great. Anybody have any... questions at all about the loan, the terms, or the bathrooms?
Just curious, where is this located?
This is on Goshen Road, east of Bridgeview Road. It's about a mile east of the YMCA Meyer Center.
Okay.
Yeah, you weren't here.
No.
Yeah, she wasn't here last time.
So no questions at all for the city of Edwardsville or for Mr. Arnold? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the $200,000 park and rec loan to the city of Edwardsville.
No move.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Foster. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you for coming and giving us the information. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you again for your support of our project.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting James sit with us.
It is mind boggling.
All right, and our final item under new business is the approval of a labor market data program subscription with MC? MC.
Acronym.
Oh, you're right.
Something.
And this is for $8,000. So, Drew, do you want to take it away?
So, we purchased this last year in 6 months increments because we wanted to try it out before we dove in and, you know, did it all at once. But basically, it's just a database and we can use it to help the community with projects and demographics. On various counties. I think we extended it this time 14 more counties.
Yeah, we actually got 14 more counties this time than we did last time.
So it's got some workforce data, demographic data,
occupation data, economy data.
We can compare our region to other regions. It's been very, very helpful. I think I've probably given you guys a copy of the Madison County data at one point. Last year, printed that. I think I gave it to all the county board members. So that's what that was the monthly data.
This is 12 months, right? 12 months subscription. So did this come before, this is my first year on the committee, so has this come before the committee before?
It didn't, because we broke it up last year. Like I said, we wanted to try it out, gotcha. So it was a $4,000.
So it didn't have to come.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then, do our cities use these at all? Do we know, like, Edwardsville, Glen Carbon use these, Alton?
Well, they access it through us.
Okay,
so we provide the data to them.
Okay, that's what I was wondering if we're going to, like, partner with them, just so we're not all purchasing the same thing.
So I know SIU uses them, as he did, and so does Lewis and Clark, so I think they've got a much more robust platform.
Do they use that to help make decisions on programming? Like, do we need more welding?
I think some of it is, with SIU, they do a lot of research. I don't know if you know the name Tim Sullivan. He's an economics professor. He does a lot of research, and I think they use that data. I know Lewis and Clark uses it, and then they're determining new programs. And right. Yeah. So.
Any other questions?
What did we do before we had this?
That's a good question.
We had an old system that we used to approve here year after year called Claritas. That became outdated material. Actually, they outsourced to a different company called Spotlight, and they started offering less data. So this was the next best approach to use to get that data that we had. We've been happy with it over the first year, and that's why we do want to continue. For each municipality, we've been able to pull zip code data to make it specific for each. Yeah, it's just been great to have, actually.
On the workforce side, we get data from the Department of Employment Security, and sometimes it's a little dated. So I think MZ's probably much more up to date on what they can provide.
Let's say for an RFP, for example, if somebody's coming in here and saying they need 250 workers that are good at warehousing and logistics, we can actually pull the occupations in the area by the NCAIS code, and it actually tells us how many workers are available for that type of job.
So we had something called Claritas and then Spotlight?
We didn't go to Spotlight. Okay. When Claritas made the jump, they switched to Spotlight and also increased the pricing as well. So we actually just cut them out of the budget altogether.
Okay. Is this helpful for communities when they apply for community development block grants?
If anybody's used it for that specifically, but we tell the communities all the time, if you need data, call us, because we can probably help.
That'd be useful.
Yeah,
I would think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Especially if they don't have the census data for the low income.
Yeah.
So since we've had it for 6 months, would we need more training on this? Or are we well-trained on this? Or
they actually have called numerous times, and we've gone through numerous demos with them on how to use it just to get the best use out of it. We've been happy with it.
So we're pretty good to go?
Yeah. I mean, if we have questions, we just call them up, and they walk us through and help us find what we need to do.
So if we didn't do this, how would you get that data?
So what this database does is it pulls from 18 different sources, some sources we don't have access to, and it compiles it into one list. They compile it from the American Community Survey, U.S. Census Bureau, the labor statistics site that I believe Tony mentioned, some real estate websites go into this. Essentially, it would be us taking the time to go to each different location, potentially also having to have a subscription to different locations rather than having it in one place.
Virgil, let me know.
Any further questions? Anybody?
It says of Moscow. Is this collusion? Moscow.
Back in the USSR.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't know that.
Was that a Beatles song reference?
It was.
Yeah.
There's no further question. I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
By Ms. Dalton.
Second.
Second by Ms. Glasper. Any final comments? Good to go. All right, roll call vote then. Ms. Glasper.
Yes.
Ms. Dalton.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Aye.
Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Malone.
Aye.
Ms. Coombs.
Yes.
Ms. Harris. That passes unanimously as well. And then I believe that's it for new business. So the only items left are administrative reports of Mr. Furman.
This is great. We got a half hour I can talk about.
You had 5 minutes.
So a couple things going on. One of the worst kept secrets in the state, they did finally officially announce the $400,000 apprenticeship expansion grant that we were awarded to this region. Governor announced it in Chicago last month. He specifically, in his press release and his announcement, talked about the one program that we're doing here with Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation, taking CNAs and front desk people and putting them in an apprenticeship program where they'll come out as medical assistants. I will tell you, we have met with a second healthcare provider in this area, and they are moving forward with the program as well, looking to start it in August, and we're meeting with a third large provider the 13th, and they are interested in it as well. Their comment was, medical assistants are the biggest need we have. It fits right into what we need, so. Sarah Lorio from my staff is currently in Washington as part of this apprenticeship grant. She is at the United States Chamber of Commerce in the Talent Pipeline Management Academy. The state is paying 100% for all the participants from Illinois to go, so she's getting the certification at zero cost to any of us sitting in the room. Soft skills video, Liz was there, Kelly was there in Granite City early morning.
Awesome. It was great.
Yep. So I've shared it with everybody if you've had the chance to watch it. Some of the places that it has been distributed already, the regional chamber, Kelly passed it on to the president, who I saw him the next day at the event at the Doubletree, and he told me that he'd watched it and had passed it on to three or four individuals who he felt were experts in workforce development. The Nine Network have a program called American Graduates, so they're reviewing it as a possibility of putting it out to all the members of that American Graduate group. McHenry County up north of Chicago has a program where they're working with soft skills, where the workforce people up there have shared it with the community college to use with that group. And found out last week from one of the members, or one of the individuals that was in the video, that he had some connections in Cincinnati, which they have shared it, and the Cincinnati Chamber has seen it, and he said there was a good possibility they were going to be reaching back out to us to get details of how we did it and all that. So, getting a lot of legs with the video, so we're pretty happy with that. Remember that for the Arcus Awards next year.
Made the paper in Texas.
Yep.
Paper in Texas?
Yeah, the press release at the paper in Texas and in Oklahoma, I think. So.
There you go. Congrats.
So our realignment, picking up Jersey and Calhoun County, even though they're both underwater currently, is on track. We had to submit the needed documentation and all the agreements between the four county board chairs last week to the state. The time frame is that should get approved at the June State Workforce Board meeting, and we're on track to take over July 1. Jersey and Calhoun County, we should know later this week what our allotment is for next year. So I'm not sure. We've heard there's going to be a cut. I'm not sure how much those 25,000 people in those two counties are going to help bring that back up. So this is an easy month. Next month, forewarn you that we have our youth RFPs for approval next month, so you'll actually see something from employment and training that we'll need approvals on. So that's it.
Exciting. Wow. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Burton.
Yep. Appreciate it. And we'll get, now you have a half hour. There you go.
Well, James and Sam and I just got back from Indianapolis last week, where we went to our economic development training on credit analysis and real estate development. And yeah, our brains are a little on overload. It was a lot to take in, but it was good stuff. We also finished the week before that. We went through the UMSL. They have a Chancellor's Certificate on Economic Development, so we finished that. It was a series of 8 weeks of Wednesday nights that we went to, which was also very good. So we're well trained these days. We're working on IDOT letters of support. I send them out to some of you who cover those regions. It's about six laning, 270 and 111 interchange.
been working with Mary Lamy on that, and we'll be getting those in front of the state representatives on May 15th, sort of same March. We have the CDBG apps are in. We have 8 applications this year, so we'll be going through those, sorting out, you know, pointing those, probably bringing those in June for approval, and may request a special meeting depending on what that all looks like. So we're supposed
that'll
to
be next month. Then.
Yeah.
So we'll oh man, it'll be a long meeting.
Are there 7? Are there 7 awardees?
It depends on how
depends
much
on
funding
the money,
we have,
how much you're asking for,
and how much they ask for, all that kind of stuff. So we'll we can do that later this week. We'll go through those, so we'll have more of a story on that before the June meeting for you. The SIUE workshop's coming up. I gave you a postcard. I'm going to keep nagging you until you all sign up. I don't think any of you signed up yet. And we have, let's see, weatherization contract extended for a month while they are negotiating that. We did an RFP for contracting that out as was requested. We've sent that document to the state for their approval and feedback, so we haven't heard back from them. I think they've had it 2 weeks now. So once we get that back from them, we'll bring that here, maybe also in June. We'll see. And on the homeless, gave you some numbers, which I'll let Dave talk about if he would like to. But we also, I told you last month that Good Samaritan House had closed. We did have a meeting with them. We helped round up some new board members. So they had a meeting, voted in 8 new board members, I think. They have potentially 3 or 4 others who are interested in coming on board. So we're hopeful that they're going to get their doors back open once they get that rolling. And Dave and I have been meeting with some pastors in Alton about warming centers. So in Alton, there are no 24-hour warming centers. So like during the polar vortex, you could go to the public buildings, the library, what have you. But when those closed, then there was no place for people to go. And so we just started meeting with a group of pastors, and they're hoping to have something in place by this coming November that they can open up around the clock. When the weather gets below probably 30 degrees, 20 degrees, I don't know, they'll have to decide what their criteria is for that. But. And then you want to talk about the point in time count?
Sure. So on January 28th of this year, we conducted our annual point in time count of homelessness in the county. It was pretty chilly. So this year we counted a total of 101 individuals. That compares last year to 126, so our numbers are down. Could be a lot of reasons that those numbers are down, one being the temperature the night that we did the count, which, I mean, we have to pick a night and do it. We can't really tailor that to some nice weather. I don't know, did you pass out the other thing about the veterans?
I gave them all the sheets that you sent.
Everything.
I gave them everything.
There was only 6 veterans that we counted that were homeless in Madison County. That is a major effort right now on our part to try to end homelessness in the St. Louis metropolitan region. The last number that I had from the St. Louis region was 141, so our number is a very small part of that, and definitely should be achievable for us in Madison County. We are still working with the other continuums of care, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles, Lincoln, Warren, and St. Clair County to make sure that those veterans who might want to move to Madison County have the opportunity to move to Madison County. So we're discounting all of those geographic boundaries, mm-hmm. and we're just trying to get people placed in housing, especially that veteran population. Happy to answer any questions if you might have some.
I'm assuming you're working kind of hand in hand with the Veterans Assistance Commission also.
Actually, they're not really providing much housing assistance. They do a lot of the employment and working with the VA to try to get benefits.
Right.
Working more closely with Chestnut Health Systems and a program called Supportive Services.
But they don't help identify the homeless veterans?
They certainly make referrals to us.
Referrals.
Yes. Okay. Yes. but I mean, we're working with them, but not as closely as what you might think. Because of the housing, so they don't deal with the housing. That's where my focus is.
Still would think they get people walking off the street. I'd still think that somewhere along the line they run into somebody that's homeless.
Yeah. Well, and we do when they call it to our homeless hotline, we do send an email to them to notify them that we've done intake.
Right.
So they know immediately somebody who's in the system.
Yeah, we communicate.
Okay.
So if we get a phone call from a veteran that we've not had in our system, we're sending an email to them saying, here's somebody that we've encountered.
Heads up.
But we're also sending that to that Chestnut program, Supporting Services for Veteran Families, which is a VA-funded program, and specifically deals with that housing component.
Okay.
So, Dave, what way do you identify? I mean, the only way you hear from these veterans, if they call in to you or drop in?
Well, we've communicated with a lot of the other organizations. So, I mean, they can come in any open door. Mm-hmm. So there is no wrong door to enter the system. So if they happen to go to an American Legion, the American Legion knows
about
the SSB, right, any of the veteran organizations.
They would notify you all.
Right. Yeah. We're pretty well connected out there.
Any other questions?
What is unaccompanied youth household? What is that?
So, could be a 17-year-old with a child, or it could be a 17-year-old without a child. They are not accompanied by an adult. So there's basically three categories of households that HUD recognizes. Persons in households with at least one adult and one child. Persons in households with only adults. Or persons in households with only youth. And that's 17 adults.
Sorry if I may. So we have some of those. Because they are minors, do we allow them to remain homeless, or do we help?
It's a very, very difficult population to work with. Number one, they're very well hidden. They don't necessarily want to be found. Many of them are either locked out or runaway. So the police departments are that first line, and Children's Home and Aid, which covers all of Madison County, is that youth-specific agency. They do a lot of negotiating with the family members, trying to reunite folks back into housing. They do have some motel money, but that's where you get into the problem of motels not going to let somebody that's 17 stay there. And landlords aren't going to rent to a 17-year-old. And yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, unfortunately, it is not a huge population for us, but when we do encounter those youth, it's a tough situation.
Are any of them ever emancipated minors?
There are some emancipated minors, and there are kids that age out of foster care.
Yeah.
So we work with those foster care agencies to make sure that those kids that are aging out are at least hooked into some kind of system still to either find that housing, employment, and stability.
And school.
Absolutely.
Any questions? Ms. Kodenbach, do you have anything else?
That's all.
One last thing, if she's not going to mention it, I'm going to do it. If anybody's been down 111 south of 270, they'll see that the first warehouse for the new North Point development site has started. So, like that one's supposed to be just over a 500,000 foot warehouse.
Went down that way the other day.
Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. Well, that's the plan when they build the 4 or 5 million square foot ones later on.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just to think that much. Great. I don't believe we have any old business, so is there anything else you'd like to, before we adjourn?
I want to let the committee know, Mr. Chairman, that my wife is having surgery on June 10th, so I will not likely be here. Getting her gallbladder taken out, so I'm sure I'll be hanging out with her.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
You gotta
do
that.
Yeah. Wish her our best.
Thank you. She had it taken out about a month and a half ago, but she wanted to wait for me to get out of school.
Yeah. Understood. Well, thanks for that, Zephyrus. What are we thinking about today? Okay. And a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Made by Ms. Harris, seconded by Ms. Kuhn. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Got a note of it.
I have a copy. So, did anybody
the project? I thought I was